Word got around. Within a month of the big Voco, everyone in the Decenarian Math knew most of what we knew about the ship. The Hierarchs made no effort to suppress it, but they didn't open the Starhenge either. I found myself getting invited to a lot more late-night chalk hall sessions. We studied the diagram Leo had found in that book and worked out the theorics of how such a ship would function and how much bigger it would have to be to journey between stars. Some of it was simple praxic calculations about the shock absorbers. Some, such as predicting what the plasma would do when it hit the plate, was extraordinarily challenging work. The theorics was too advanced for me. It felt like we were proving the Lorites wrong because some of the other avowed, just a little older than I, were coming up with proofs that we were pretty sure had never been thought of by anyone before. Anyone on Arb, that is.
"It makes you wonder about the Hylaean theoric world,"
Archibald volunteered one summer evening, about 8 weeks after the big Voco. He had been pretending to look after his bees, and I had been pretending to tend the weeds. By that time, the Sarthian cavalry had penetrated deep into the plains of Thrania and driven a wedge between the 4th and the 33rd legions of General Oxus. So it wasn't surprising that Archibald and I bumped into each other. At our latitude, days were very long at this time of year, and we still had some light remaining even though supper had ended hours ago.
"What's on your mind?" I asked him.
"You are toiling in chalk halls with the other Adharians, trying to work out the theorics of this alien ship," he said. "Theorics that the aliens must have mastered long ago to build such a thing and drive it among stars. My question is, are they the same theorics?"
"You mean ours and the aliens?"
"Yes." "I see the chalk dust on your bolt, Fra Erasmus, from equations you were drawing after supper. Did some two-headed, eight-limbed alien draw the same equations on the equivalent of a slate on another planet 1,000 years ago?
"I'm pretty sure the aliens used different notation," I began.
"Obviously,"
he barked. "You sound like Ayla."
"Maybe they use a little square to represent multiplication and a circle for division or something," he went on, rolling his eyes in annoyance, then whirling his hand to indicate he wanted the conversation to go faster.
"Or maybe they don't write out equations at all," I said. "Maybe they prove things with music or something."
Which wasn't far-fetched at all, since we did something like that in our chants, and there had been whole orders of avowed who had done all of their theorics that way.
"Now we're getting somewhere."
He was so thrilled by this idea that I regretted having mentioned it. "Suppose they have a system of doing theorics that uses music, as you said, and perhaps, if it leads to a harmonious chord or a pleasing tune, it means that they have proved that something is true."
"You really are going off the deep end now, Archibald."
"Tolerate your friend and Fra."
"Do you think it's the case that for every proof you and the other Adharians work out on a slate, the aliens have a proof in their own system that corresponds to it, that says the same thing, expresses the same truth? We couldn't do theorics at all if we didn't think that was the case."
"But Archibald, this is old stuff we're talking about. Canoas saw it. Hylaea understood it. Protus formalized it. Paphlagon thought about it, which is why he got evoked. What's the point of going over it now? I'm tired. As soon as it gets a little darker, I'm going to bed."
"How are we to communicate with the aliens?"
"I don't know." "It's been speculated that they have been learning our language," I reminded him.
"What if they can't talk?"
"A minute ago you had them singing."
"Don't be tedious, Fra Erasmus. You know what I'm getting at."
"Maybe I do, but it's late.
I was up until 3 talking about plasma. Hey, I think it is dark enough for me to go to bed now. Hear me out. I'm saying that it is through the proton forms, the theoric truths, in the Hylaean theoric world that we might end up communicating with them."
"It sounds like you're just itching for an excuse to barricade yourself in Schiff's Dalmet behind a stack of old books and work on this. Are you asking me for permission? Approval?" He shrugged.
"You are the resident expert on the alien ship."
"Okay, fine. Knock yourself out. I'll back you up. I'll tell everyone you're not crazy."
"Capital.
If you help me with one thing that really has me scratching my head right now."
"And what would that be, Fra Erasmus?"
"Why does the millenarian math appear to be glowing?"
"What?"
"Look at it," I said. He turned around and raised his chin to gaze up at the crag. It was glowing ruby red. This was not a normal thing for it to be doing. Of course, we saw soft lights up there all the time, and if the weather was right, the walls would sometimes catch the light of the setting sun, as when Orlo and I had looked on it during Appert. For the last few minutes, as the twilight had been deepening, I had noticed a red glow about the place, and reckoned it must be that again. But the sun was absolutely down now, and this light was a shade of red that was most unsunlike. It had a grainy, sparkly quality, and it was coming from the wrong direction. Sunlight would have lit up the west-facing surfaces of the math and the crag. But this weird red light was striking the roofs, parapets, and tower tops. Everything below was in shade. It was almost as if some aircraft was hovering high above the crag, shining a light straight down. But if that were the case, it was so high we could neither see nor hear it.